Happy Rusev Day.
Boo. We are back once again. Standing, sitting to my right is Dave Walker. How are you, Dave?
I'm pretty good, mate. It's Rusev Day.
It is Rusev Day. I'm pretty jolly.
Yeah. My decorations are up.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah,
I'm having some kind of intercontinental food. I'm not entirely sure where he's actually from, but we're going with Greek.
He's Bulgarian.
He
close.
Looks Greek. He looks like Demis Roussos to me. So I'm going to go.
He was Russian, though.
He was Russian originally.
He was Russian, yeah.
But then they realised he has a massive tattoo of Bulgaria on his arm.
He got a roll with that.
So yeah, you got a roll with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting to my left, Chris Wilson.
Happy Rusev Day to you as well.
Why, thank you, sir. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing fine, thanks, yeah.
Looking forward to some vintage Freddy Krueger action.
I am indeed, yeah.
So yeah, this week I'm in the chair, and it is Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Dream Warriors. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one?
The one with the one with the Dokken soundtrack. That one.
Nice.
It's the greatest theme tune to any film ever made.
It's getting there, isn't it?
It's right up there, mate. It's right up there with Nobody Does It Better from that Bond film.
I think my favourite is Man Behind a Mask, Alice Cooper, Friday the 13th.
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's...
Which Friday the 13th is that?
Five. It's so groovy.
Fucking hell. I didn't even know he did a song for Friday the 13th.
He did, yeah, yeah. I've got it on vinyl several times. I will lend you it.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Please do.
So, Rob.
Yes, mate.
Why? Apart from the theme tune.
Okay,
why'd you have a pick?
I mean, if I'm honest with you, it's largely because of the theme tune.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie, lads. But
I do appreciate that it's easy. If you've never seen the series before, you can just kind of blitz through the first two.
Yeah.
Or you blitz through the first one. Drag through the second.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason I picked this one is because it comes quite nicely in the lineage of Friday the 13th.
Yep.
Nightmare on Elm Street, sorry, cut that out, Dave.
Oh! We just lost 5 listeners. Wilson's bum included.
Yeah. Shit. Fucking no!
Shit, play more Dokken, quick.
Fuck, I need a soundboard.
Fucking cunts.
So yeah, you were talking about Halloween then.
Yeah, so yeah, it comes, let me try that again. It comes quite nicely in the lineage of Nightmare on Elm Street, because it's the third entry of the series. The first one, obviously, as we all know, is a bit of a classic.
Yes, mate.
One of my favourite horror films of all time.
Okay, yeah. Understandable,
Me and Chris Wilson here to my left were exchanging texts as we were watching the first one, as we were rewatching the first one, and you'd forgot how good it was, didn't you, mate?
I always do. It's like the third or fourth time I've seen it, and every time I forget just how glorious those deaths are, and it's just a well-told story as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of people behind and in front of a camera having a fucking good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so creatively made, and it's like you say, it's such a brilliant idea,
mm-hmm.
And it's something that everyone can relate to,
mm-hmm.
And it was just so effectively done. And then they made another one, which has caused some controversy.
Oh, can I have a controversial opinion here?
Yes, Willie.
There he goes, Klaxon.
I don't mind it at all. I think it's decent as a standalone film. I know it completely fucks with every single rule that the series establishes before and after, but I thought it was fine as like a psychological thriller about a man losing his mind. And the whole homoerotic subtext that apparently it had.
Allegedly.
No, the writer confirmed that it actually was. That case,
is that the writer confirming it after the fact, though, to make himself look more clever than he was at the time?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Isn't there a scene where two lads like share a room and they're like, no, I don't want to sleep with you. And it's like, oh, please sleep with me, I'll feel more safe. And they're taking their clothes off while they're doing it.
Yeah, basically. And then one of them rips the other one apart, yeah.
Right, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
no, that is a little bit.
With his cock.
Yeah.
split him in half like a human tree.
So, yeah. And then we went on to part three, Dream Warriors, where I think basically they sat down and went, right, fucking hell. I think we should just tone down the fucking weird random possession shit from the second one, go slightly back to the roots, but then at the same time it is 1987, let's throw some fucking hair metal on it and have a laugh.
Yes, mate. Did very much have that. And I'm right thinking this is director's first movie. I can't remember what else he's... No, he's done Eraser as well, hasn't
he? Very glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because I did a little bit of research on the director, called Chuck Russell.
That's it.
He directed... Eraser, correct. Yep. He also directed The Mask.
Yep.
And he also directed The Scorpion King.
That's it.
Starring The Rock.
Because I did an impression to Eleanor of his film career, which was, oh, look at that. Up, 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 up. That's amazing. Oh, fuck.
I've overshot it.
Lifeline done.
And game over.
Anything recently, I don't think.
No, he hasn't. I think he does a bit of TV now, like everyone does.
Oh, yeah, TV, yeah. Sorry.
So, yeah, yeah. So that's Chuck Russell.
Yep.
I really wanted to do a Freddy film this time around, and I was torn between this and New Nightmare, which is kind of a bit like the second one in the sense that it takes Freddy in a completely different direction, but it's also not fucking shit, or as Wilson would say, quite good.
I'm glad you've done it in this order, though.
Yeah, I do.
You kind of need to know the franchise to appreciate New Nightmare.
Yeah.
And I think now, is New Nightmare the fifth one?
No, it's like number seven or something like that. Okay. It's officially speaking the last Nightmare on Elm Street film before Freddy vs. Jason.
Mm. Right, okay.
But technically, it's a bit of one of them. It's a weird one. So, yeah, that was the thinking. Mm-hmm. So, I guess, opening thoughts from you, lads. How did you feel about part three versus the two that preceded it?
Go on, Willie.
In terms of how good it is, I think this is on par with the first one, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Spoiler for the rest of the review. I think the first has the edge on it just due to the kills. Mm-hmm. Although there is one kill in this film that ranks up there as like my favourite kill in like the history of cinema ever.
It's one of two, but I think I know which one it'll probably be.
Yeah.
I think we're all agreed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say this is a fantastic film, and I can't wait to get talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason this is sort of universally acknowledged as the best sequel to Nightmare on Elm Street, and I think the reason for that is because it don't really give a fuck. Like, it just wants to entertain you. Yeah. Like, it has its moments of horror, obviously, with some of the kills. They are quite grotesque. Mm-hmm. And there's some really nice little technical stuff, which we'll get into as well. But
someone clearly sat down and said, right, how can we use this dream device in a new and creative way?
Yeah, precisely that. Yeah. Precisely that. Mm-hmm. So, should we dive in then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. Right, so... we kick off with an Edgar Allan Poe quote, because why not?
Why not, obviously.
Yeah, so... I can't remember what it was now. Didn't write it down.
It's something about, basically, he doesn't like sleeping, I think, because he had a lot of things wrong with him, and he said sleeping is quite close to death for him. It's quite a painful experience. Every time he closes his eyes, he's uncomfortable.
Like Crow for Raven. Don't sleep!
Yeah.
Wake up!
So the opening credits are over a sort of bit of crafting going on, bit of paper mache-ing.
Yeah.
We're introduced to Patricia Arquette, who looks like she's going to be our final girl this time around.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she's making a paper mache model of Nancy's house from the first film.
Yep.
Because she's having these freaky ass dreams about it.
Mm-hmm.
Harkins is back to the original, takes us back to where sort of the story came from. And
there's something quite sinister about someone using wallpaper paste on slithers of newspaper.
Yeah.
Sticking them on shit. Maybe it's because of the X-Files episode with the dude that could stretch.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
Tombs. Who used to vomit on newspaper and make a nest out of it.
Yeah.
There's something about that made me stop me eating my breakfast in this film. I don't know why.
I mean, yeah, fucking hell. Agreed. And one thing from the credits that I did notice off the bat, one of the writers was Frank Darabont.
I was going to say... This did have some shades of Darabont in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it his first writing credit?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a co-writing credit. I think it was like...
Yeah, yeah.
Was it three other writers as well? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is his first, like...
Frank, sort this out.
Yeah, a proper involvement in any film, I think, maybe.
And I also noticed that a young Angelo Badalamenti.
Yes.
Yes.
He's thrown in a little bit for this film, but I think he was quite young.
Fizz bit, yeah.
It's not Twin Peaks, but...
Yeah. Although there was a bit later on, which we might get into if I remember, that is quite Twin Peaks in its score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with this film, he's relying quite a lot on the old hair metal.
Yeah, I mean, it's
soundboard.
Yeah. Oh, no. I have to click between different windows. Oh, Willie, it's the...
I mean, tis the season, isn't it, for hair metal?
We're still going to get fucked by iTunes for copyright.
It's all right, I'll just time stretch it, mate.
Don't you worry.
We've got that covered.
So, yeah, so after the opening credit sequence, we go into a really nicely done sequence where Patricia Arquette basically looks over the back of a bed. And behind her is the fucking house with the creepy girl and the skipping rope. So we're straight fucking in there. I thought it was really nicely cut, this. What did you think to the opening a little bit, Wilson?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice little practical effect as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Horror cliche movie moment of the week. Creepy little girls.
Gotta have them, especially in a nightmare film.
It's quite funny, I've written down another cliche moment. Going straight to the basement.
Yes, nice. Yes. And I think it's quite knowing, though, isn't it, as well? I think it's kind of almost acknowledging the fact that it's kind of treading the classic cliche ground early on.
Yeah. But, of course, she's got to go down to the basement, though, because that's where the incinerator and possibly Freddy as well, maybe, is.
Freddy?
Yeah, I mean, there's some really strong imagery as well, sort of from the off. Although I don't think Patricia Arquette's that great across the board, but the style and the imagery of the house is great, and I think just after this, when she's walking around the house, there's a scene where there's loads of hanging kids.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
which is pretty fucking savage to have in the first 10 minutes of your film.
Yeah, you're 10 minutes in, and it's fucking intense, man. Yeah. Really, really horrific stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
When she comes back round. And Bob's off into the bathroom for a bit of a freshen up.
Yep.
We have our first bit of really nice sort of practical stop motion-y type effects where the taps grab hold of her.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great, mate.
Yeah, yeah. They turn into fingers and then Freddy claws, don't they? And then
grab
hold of her. I love the stop motion in this.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so effectively done all the way through, and it must have taken them a fucking age to create. And obviously the effects are sort of the time, but in a sense they sort of feel more real than effects on things like even like Blade 2 that we saw recently, where the CGI sort of dated to the point where
but it's still a real thing with a real light point, that is the important thing. It's still got real lighting effects, which are still hard to do.
Sure.
So I don't think CGI will ever master what is real, so that's why stop motion is always going to age a lot better, in my opinion.
Agreed, because like Dave says, it is a real thing. So we have that sort of first little bit of the practical effects, and then we pop off to the local mental hospital.
Classic.
Establish our sort of group of kids, and establish the fact that there is a bunch of kids that have been locked up and they're suffering nightmares about Freddy. No one believes them. Featuring Morpheus. Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne as a hospital porter.
And in local news, two more teenage deaths have occurred, both suicides. County health officials are at a loss to explain this alarming trend.
Nothing like a little cheery news to start the day, huh?
Yeah. Say, listen, Doc. I got a new theory about all these suicides, right?
Don't hold back on us, Max. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, it's fucked up chromosomes, man. Think about it. All their parents dropped acid during the 60s.
Well, beat Sims' theory. She thinks it's nothing but sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Shit. That's what keeps people alive.
Hi, Terry. You don't look so hot, kid. Are you getting some sleep? I don't think so.
Good morning, Dr. Gordon.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are the burns?
Regular menthol ultralight. They're
heating up nicely.
Yeah, I've been good. So, when do I get my cigarette privileges back?
Don't hold your breath. Hello?
Hey, Dad.
It's a little bit contrived, this.
Sorry, listeners.
Basically, it's established very early that these are the Elm Street kids, the remaining Elm Street kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm no fucking medical practitioner, guys. But what I will say is, if you've got a bunch of six kids who are all from the same street, of the same age, where you know some bad shit's gone down in the past involving Freddy Krueger, you don't immediately disbelieve them.
No.
Yeah,
or
but you know,
it up to just bad behaviour.
Yeah,
but it's like drugs and sexuality, apparently.
Yeah. we kind of like get introduced to the doctor in charge of them. Mm-hmm. Looks a kind of a bit like a fake Tim Allen. That's what I got off him.
Mm-hmm. Does a bit, yeah.
Just a little bit, yeah. So fake Tim Allen's fairly unsuccessfully trying to treat these sort of badly behaved kids.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Arquette's thrown into the mix after a bathroom incident.
Yeah, just to point out that with the whole tap incident, that she's actually somehow slit her wrists. Whether or not she did it herself, it made it look like that she did do.
Yeah.
We're not entirely sure.
Her mum's chucked her in the loony bin.
Yeah.
And is more concerned about how much it's going to cost her than whether her daughter's going to be all right.
And she thinks that Patricia Arquette's just like doing it for attention.
Attention, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so she's ended up in the loony bin with the rest of the Elm Street kids.
Yeah.
And then at that point, there's some discussion around a medical student who's come through the system with some wacky ideas.
Yes, mate. Who is she, though?
Well, you wouldn't believe the coinkidink here, Dave.
My favourite word ever.
Thank you. It's only bloody Nancy from the first film.
Isn't it?
She's still got a little bit of grey.
Yeah.
And she's
wandering through the door, looking doe-eyed as fucking possible.
Yeah, looking like budget Gina Davis in this film.
Oh, fuck me, that's harsh.
Well, just mate, a bit. Fucking does, though.
I'm Dr. Gordon. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to help you. Back off, Max. Kristen, put the scalpel down. Nobody's gonna hurt you.
Five, six, grab your crucifix. Seven, eight, better stay up late. Nine, ten, never sleep again. Learn that rhyme.
Yeah, standing by it.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, she explains that there is an experimental drug on the market,
mm-hmm,
that represses dreams,
mm-hmm,
and so in effect can stop Freddy coming through.
Mm-hmm.
All the other staff, so fake Tim Allen, the doctor, and the sort of Nurse Ratchet type character that's milling about in the background, disbelieve him,
mm-hmm,
and basically saying, no, love, not having that's a load of bullshite.
Then Nancy goes around and gets to meet all the other kids.
Yep. So you get kind of an introduction to each one properly then. Is it in a group session or does she meet them individually?
She meets them individually, then in a group. So I think this is doing the bit you love most. So that's establishing a bit of the geography of the place as well.
Yeah.
As walking around.
Yeah, we get a nice little guided tour at one point as well with the rec room and all, who's in what room and whatnot.
Yeah. They do that Silence of the Lambs thing, where in Silence of the Lambs, when the first time Clarice goes down to see Hannibal Lecter, the camera pans along and there's like the fucking wanking guy and there's the guy that's shouting at himself. They do that classic look who's behind door number three situation. And then once that's sort of all established, one of my all-time favourite cliche tropes of horror movies in general, the creepy nun.
Oh yeah, I gotta have a creepy nun, haven't you?
So the creepy nun pops along. She seems to only be able to be in communication with fake Tim Allen, our doctor. Mate.
And she only kind of says rhetoric.
Yes.
Just spouts stuff.
Yeah. She's like the guy from Friday the 13th that says, don't go in that fucking camp. It's a bad idea.
And then when you turn around, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of fade behind the corner. Yeah. Still looking. No? Ooh.
Yeah. There is a wanky horror term for that character. I forget what it is, but basically, it's the person that says, don't go in there.
Yeah. Is it wankshaft?
I mean, I don't remember it coming up in any lectures at uni. Under that
guy saying the word wankshaft.
Yeah. Can't imagine that happening.
Dr. Sheldon Hall saying it.
Maybe so. Yeah, so after the creepy nun spouts a little bit of nonsensical religious shite, we go back to Patricia Arquette, who's basically still a little bit on edge. Just slightly on edge from her earlier experience. And she's laid up in a room and a creepy bike tips up.
Yes, mate, it just kind of rolls in, doesn't
cycled
it?
Cycled by no fucker.
Yeah.
Trailing blood on its wheels.
Ghost
and then,
bike.
Ghost bike and then melts. Wonder where Saw got that idea from.
We're here. And that melting effect is all right.
Another practical effect.
Yeah.
Worked very well.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to pause slightly for reflection here because we've sort of... A lot of things have happened quite quickly.
Yes, mate.
A lot of things have been quite neatly established.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty streamlined stuff so far. Like, there's no wasted motion.
Especially, no.
You know, we're kind of set up for the rest of the film. How would you feel about the sort of slight change of setting? Because this is obviously the first film of the series that's kind of... The main location is not in and around Elm Street.
Yeah.
It's kind of been taken slightly more away from that to this sort of sanatorium setting.
Yeah.
How would you feel about the sort of different kind of vibe that's given this film versus the previous ones?
I'm all right. It's not quite Jason in space.
No.
But it is taking it to a new location.
Yeah.
And, you know... A little bit of fresh wallpaper in this respect.
Yeah, I was literally about to cite the space example. After a while, you've got to go somewhere else, and if it's not a mental hospital, then you do have to go in space. So I'm glad they chose to go to a mental hospital instead.
Exactly, mate. It's Babe Pig in the big city, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to switch to a new location, keep it fresh.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, it's really kind of nicely 5 minutes of cool, weird fucking effects,
mm-hmm.
5 minutes of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the interest ticking over.
Mm-hmm.
And the next such set piece that keeps things ticking over is basically our pal Patricia's fallen asleep,
mm-hmm.
and she's walking around some derelict areas, basically, and all the fucking walls start rippling, and a big fucking Freddy monster comes through the floor, tags her legs out.
Yep. Is that Penis Freddy?
It is Freddy.
Yeah.
Correct. Penis
Freddy. Yeah, yeah.
Giant pulsating cock Freddy comes to try and eat her.
Yep.
Strong metaphor. What did you reckon to this little set piece, Wilson?
I really liked it. It sort of reminded me, though, of obviously, because a lot later on, there's an episode of a Simpsons Halloween episode. It's a Harry Potter piss take, and after Mr. Burns dies, Smithers is a snake and he starts eating him. Reminded me of that.
Brilliant. Fucking brilliant. So she's getting all fucked up by the Freddy penis monster.
Like a nom 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 nom.
She's getting noshed on big time.
She is, yeah. Oh my god, we're going in a weird direction with this, lads. And then she shouts out in her dream for Nancy.
Yeah.
And Nancy manages, perhaps through the use of this drug Hypnosil, she's taken control of her dreams,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of collapses back onto a chair.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And disappears and falls through into the dreamscape.
There's a nice magic chair.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had one of those. It'd save me on
fair. Patricia Arquette can pull people into her dreams. She's the one, because they all have a gift, and she's the one that can pull people in.
That's right.
Correct, yeah. And Nancy has an element of control as well because of the Hypnosil. So it's kind of like they sort of build a connection in this scene, and Nancy beats the fuck out of the old penis Freddy.
Yes, mate. Is there a bit of glass involved as well?
Yeah, I think she shanks him with a bit of glass.
Ooh,
which is
makes me cringe just thinking about it.
Oh god, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Well, at least didn't use sandpaper.
Awesome.
So yeah, so basically she manages to...
There's an idea. We'll do Human Centipede 3 for the next film.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Human Centipede.
Oh, is it the second one? There's one of the Human Centipede films where the guy's getting off by masturbating using sandpaper.
Oh, Jesus. I've only seen half the first one. That's enough for me.
Anyway.
Where were we?
Anyway, so yeah. Because of the connection that they have and Patricia Arquette's newfound ability to pull people into her dreams, they manage to escape the penis Freddy and... They pull out and then
you're getting a hoe on that, you can fuck off.
Yeah, that was fucking appalling. Up next, I should mention earlier on we were introduced to one of the kids who's discovered that he does like models, what they called like Punch and Judy type, pull string models.
Yeah.
And the next sort of nocturnal scene we have is what is probably my favourite scene in the film.
Yeah.
Which is when the kid's doll stop motion turns into a Freddy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And the Freddy, fuck me, he basically slits the kid's wrists open
and
calves, yeah, and shins, yeah. Pulls out his tendons,
yeah,
and creates a doll of him and has him walking around the hospital for a bit. Do you want to talk us through this one, Wilson?
Yeah, because this is one of my favourite deaths ever.
Before we push on to that bit, how sick is that stop motion, though?
Fucking incredible. Yeah. That's my favourite little bit of film.
When Freddy lands on the floor and you're like, how the fuck did you get that weight right?
Yeah.
How did you get that right? Not even Jurassic Park did that in test footage. That's what?
Yeah. It made me jump as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really fucking brilliantly constructed scene.
Yeah.
It's such an underrated film, this. It's an absolute gem. But yeah, sorry, Wilson. Yeah, go for it.
So Freddy like turns him into a puppet using his like veins and arteries for strings, and has him walk along. And it's established earlier that this kid sleepwalks. So, so the other guy in the room is just like, oh bloody hell! Like,
you're not bothered, are they?
Yeah. Bayek, get back to bed, you. And he starts walking along. I think someone else sees him, and by the time I see him again, he's up at the top of the abandoned wing of the hospital on the top floor. Yeah. So
like a big clock tower bit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's a long way down from there. And all the other kids are like down on like the ground floor, like screaming for him to like wake up, step back, and such. We quickly see like a giant image of Freddy in the sky.
Yeah.
And he cuts the ropes, and this kid falls to his death.
Joey! What's the matter?
Yeah, when I first saw this, I must have been 12, 13. I remember watching this with my brother. It was like shown on Sky One or something on like a Friday night. Yeah, and it's like this death has like stayed with me such a long time. It's such a fucking cool scene.
Yeah, it's so well, again, it's everything is so well thought out and executed and timed and paced. It's just brilliant. And the scenes like this really sort of give a sense of scale to Freddy and his evil and his reach as a sort of being of evil. Yeah. It's incredible.
As a viewer, it definitely strung me along.
Oh.
And I'm going for the Duncan record here. I just want my whole episode to be one massive hoe.
Dear me.
Dear
me. Yeah, and they also use that death quite effectively to just kind of introduce the abandoned wing.
Yeah.
It's there then. It's done.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Again, geography. Which
pays off much later on.
And this is a little snippet of this is also on the trailer. Mm-hmm. The trailer's a sight to behold. I recommend anybody check it out because obviously it's got the docking, it's got the
soundboard.
It's got a lot of clips of some pretty top end kills, including this one, and it's pretty fucking good, mate. I think it's one of the best trailers I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on my trailer watch,
on your trailer watch binge, yeah. Mate. On the Mecca.
Exactly, on the Mecca.
On the road to Mecca.
So, I guess we better get back to the kids, haven't we? So they're all horrified after witnessing their pal fall to his death.
Mm-hmm.
Freddy's on a bit of a roll at this point because everyone is starting to become fucking terrified,
mm-hmm.
which of course allows him to gain strength. So he gets on a bit of a roll and gets a bit of tagging out done.
Yes, mate.
So he goes from tagging this guy out he mooches along to see the other blonde girl who, in the little group meet earlier, basically implied that she wanted to be famous and on TV.
Yes, mate.
So she's sat watching TV, channel hopping. Having a smoke, yeah, with Lawrence Fishburne guarding the door. And the TV starts to go a bit weird.
Yeah. Yep.
And so she goes right nice close up to the TV.
Well, Freddy turns up on the TV.
He does, yeah. It's like our Shut Show thing. I believe Shut Show says talk to Zaza Gabor.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like going, like, chatting along. And Freddy just goes, no one gives a fuck what you think. He just swipes at her. And the screen goes all static and weird.
Yeah, yeah. So that's right. So the blonde girl goes up to the screen. And just going to call this, lads, in my opinion, kill of the week.
Yep. Everyone in favour?
Well, no, because of that last sequence. But again, this is pretty top shelf stuff.
yeah. So two mechanical Freddy hands come out of the side of the TV. Again, fucking great practical effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick her up and shank her into the telly.
And his head comes through as well.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put this bit out because this is the first time we get a Freddy punchline. Which becomes quite prevalent from the service now on.
Yeah.
Study, dev, study, work, and then maybe you can make it.
Can I ask you something?
Certainly.
Who gives a fuck what you think?
And this happens to the rest of the film as well. From now on, it's puns that Arnie would be proud of.
Yeah it's really strong effort, that. Really strong effort.
Robert Englund just fucking throwing ham shanks around
there. Yeah, you know what? If we were editing for series, it'd be Jim Duggan everywhere.
Yeah, true. One of my favourite little overlooked nuance, because this is quite a famous kill, and it's been on a lot of sort of like top horror moment rundowns through the years. A little bit that always gets overlooked is Lawrence Fishburne's reaction when he comes back into the room, knowing that no one else has been in there, just his little face, he's completely blown away. Just a lovely bit of visual acting from Morpheus there.
And the reverse shot, just the fucking state of that mannequin, just hanging out of a TV. Yeah. Fucking. It is nasty, that.
So, what are your thoughts thus far, Dave, on the standard being set on the old kill front? Because I know I like a novelty kill. Yeah.
I like a well-earned kill and I like a novelty kill.
Yeah.
If they combine together, fuck.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
How's this tickling your kill bone so far?
It's tickling my kill bone pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
The only thing that's kind of irking me about the film somewhat is I like the pace, but things are feeling a bit disjointed.
Yep.
Things are feeling like a scene happens, it's ticked on a box, and then something else happens. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of stuff is getting set up for later on, and there are payoffs to a lot of this. But at the same time, I'm not feeling the scenes are particularly connected, other than it's people talking about someone in another scene.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
We get this quite a lot, and I think later on in the film, when we get towards the final battle, as it were, with everyone in their own individual dreams, that sort of thing, it does feel like one after the other instead of having some sort of flow to it, which I think in this case, I think is fine, but it would have benefited the film quite a lot if it felt a bit more connected.
I can absolutely let it off because everything's kind of moving at a pace. But at the same time, even though things are moving so fast, I'm very conscious of scene changes.
Right.
And I'm kind of very conscious of, like, how long have I been watching this? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It just feels like I've very much been there, kind of.
Yeah, and I think.
Taking stuff off.
I take your point about that. I do think it tightens up a bit into the second half.
Yeah.
When the old numbers get thin slightly. So we have. Of the next couple of scenes, we have a kind of a little bit more of an attempt of characterization and explaining a few bits. So we have another little scene with the creepy nun having a chat with fake Tim Allen, the doctor.
And like the funeral, isn't it?
Yeah, the world's quickest turnaround for a funeral as well.
Co-op were on it that
day. They've had a lot of fucking practice, to be fair, in this town.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's some religions where you have to bury your dead within 24 hours, but this must be like, what, 8 hours?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
This is Osama bin Laden shit, this is.
Yeah.
So
at the funeral they have a bit of a chat. It's all a bit mysterious again. We don't quite know what's going on.
And he looks away and she's like, ooh.
Yeah, and she fucks off. Yeah, exactly.
What a wank shaft.
Jesus. So yeah, post-funeral, Dr. Bloke goes over to Nancy's for dinner, where we find out she has a Malaysian dream doll. Of course she does. And
like it's been made up.
Almost like it's been made up, yeah. And I think this is
Don't you have one?
I've got three, mate. You never fucking know, dear.
Nailed to the top of the bed above your head.
Exactly, yeah. Well, what follows here...
It's more scary as cut off, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it fucking is, mate, yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm going to claw his face. Oh, oh, no, 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 no.
What follows here is probably, I would say, the most cack-handed romantic scene I've seen since Shark Attack 2.
Ooh, don't know about that.
Where basically, Nancy and the Doctor Man are having a nice little candlelit dinner.
Yep.
So we've got candles, check.
Out of nowhere!
Yeah, we've got Malaysian voodoo doll, check.
Check.
We've got open fire, check.
Mm-hmm.
So all the classic sort of romantic symbolisms in place. But it just don't fucking happen really, does it?
No, there's about as much chemistry as two IKEA tables. Without any chairs present, trying to get into an office kind of situation. There's everything you need there, apparently, but just something's missing. Oh, it's a chair. The basics. It's just not working, mate.
It's not working. Have you been stuck in IKEA all day? Or?
Only in my mind.
Poor fucking poor bastard. poor bastard.
Just running around all them bargains. I'll take it.
Just like staring at the boxes of all like weird Swedish names. Like, you're a glass! Just call yourself a glass!
What's a partok? Oh, it's a table leg.
Just call it a table leg. So we bosh back off to the mental institute next morning.
Yep.
Debrief time.
Ooh, debrief time.
Sit in a circle. Right. Basically what happens here is Nancy sits the kids down and says, sorry two of you have died before I've got round to explaining this bit, but I know what's going on. I'm sorry I ain't told you, but here's the crack. It's Freddy Krueger. And they're all like, oh shit, yeah, that's the guy from my dream.
Yeah, no, that is right, yeah.
Fucking hell, is there any chance of her telling them that before?
All she needs to do is walk down the corridor just going, Freddy Krueger, dude in a hat. Looks like a tortoise in a hat.
Take these pills.
Yep.
End of film.
Yep.
Finn.
Right. Finn. Popcorn shit rating.
Well, they've got to work around Nurse Ratchet, to be fair.
Yep. Yeah.
And then she clearly doesn't work early mornings, so it's the only time you can get them.
True. So, yeah, during the course of this powwow, the group basically decide that they're going to band together using Nancy's drug without the Nurse Ratchet knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Dr. Bloke's on board with them. I'm like, fuck it, we'll go in together and we'll attack this shit.
Yeah.
Bit like horror Power Rangers.
Basically, that's what it feels like at this point.
Yeah, this point on, mate, Horror Power Rangers, got to hear me now. It's Horror Power Rangers,
very
mate.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the correct racial breakdown.
Yes, they have.
You know, they've got the correct gender breakdown.
Yeah.
They've got the punk girl who's a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
They've got the black lad.
Yep.
They've got the they've got the geek. They've got the slightly disbelieving doctor.
Yep.
They're all there, mate.
They've got a mechanical dinosaur.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've got a little robot with a wok on its head shouting "Aye, aye."
They've got a giant floating head in a jar.
Yep. Everything's there, mate.
They've got Bulk. They've got Skull.
Yeah. And they've got the Silent Kid, lest we forget the Silent Kid.
Which one's the Silent Kid?
The Silent Kid is, I'm glad you asked, because that's the next little scene.
Hey.
The Silent Kid is, basically, they all go into the dreamscape, and the Silent Kid's laid in bed, and he seems to be having a bit of a fantasy dream, where a busty, blonde, beautiful nurse is...
the nurse chaser.
Getting naked for him, yeah.
Yep.
And then...
Can I shout out?
Yeah.
Primate's boobs going on.
Primate's boobs, yeah. 100% Primate's boobs. It's not a real nurse, though, is it?
No.
No.
It's not.
It's Freddy.
It's a bit more of a...
Fredarina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, at this point, it starts to get slightly convoluted, because Freddy takes the kid who doesn't speak sort of hostage in the dreamscape.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them come out and think, oh, fuck, we've lost one.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's in a... The non-speaking kid slips into a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Off he goes to the Medi Ward bit. Nurse Ratchet gets real pissed off.
I'm not surprised, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, they did go a little bit rogue.
Doing some fucking weird seance shit.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone gets a bollock in. Nancy gets told to go fuck herself. She's out of this hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And before she goes, she decides to go see the kid in a coma to have a chat with Freddy through the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another very nice bit of stop motion here, where basically she's shouting at Freddy through the kid to let the kid go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddy's little knives, carve, yeah, come and get him, bitch, into his chest.
Yeah, yeah.
Thought it was quite well done, that one, did you think?
Yeah, yeah. Really hammering the bitch factor as well, man.
Yeah, yeah. There was an exclamation mark, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Underlined that.
Yeah. So we know he's serious. I thought it was quite a nicely done little scene, this.
Yep.
It was, yeah.
And the stop motion was lovely as well.
Yeah, once again. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, on that note, the group meet again and basically decide, fuck it, we might as well have another go.
Let's have another go. It worked badly the last time, but I think if we all come together, no one chases any nurses, I think we can manage it this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just harkening back slightly to the scene where the Freddy hot nurse takes the kid hostage. He fires tongues out of his mouth and ties him to the bed with the tongues.
Yep.
And utters the classic line of, "What's the matter, Joey? Feeling tongue-tied?"
See, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, we're starting to get into that sort of panto Freddy now, aren't we?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got his theme song, he's got his naff music video.
Yeah, he'll be throwing wagon tongues. Wheels in the audience next.
Sake.
Yeah.
Where's my washboard, bitch?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then off we pop to our mate Doctor, who sees the creepy nun again.
Is this Tim Allen?
Yep. Tim Allen.
Fake Tim Allen.
Yep. Yep. It's exposition time now, lads.
It is. It's time to thump out some fucking plot points you might have missed.
Exactly. It's exposition o'clock.
Yeah.
So do you want to take exposition o'clock, Wilson?
Okie dokie, then. follows her name's Sister Elena, follows her into the abandoned wing of a hospital,
mm-hmm.
where she explains that she's on about how that wing is a place of purgatory and a place where the criminally insane were held before the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
A nurse went in there one time, got trapped, and she was raped by the inmates hundreds of times, and as a result, a baby was born from it, mm-hmm. who happened to be Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
It's just like a really, really unpleasant retelling of the Jesus story, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
Uh-huh. What is he, the bastard son of 1,000 psychopaths? Or
son of 100 maniacs. That's or it, whatever. Yeah.
The swing's been closed for years. What was this place?
Purgatory. Fashioned by the hands of men. Twisted, lonely souls, the worst of the criminally insane. We're locked up in here like animals.
This whole facility was shut down in the 40s, wasn't it? Some sort of scandal?
The young girl on the staff was accidentally locked in here over the holidays. The inmates kept her hidden for days. She was raped hundreds of times. When they found her, she was barely alive. And with child. That girl was Amanda Krueger. Her child, Freddy. The bastard son of 100 maniacs. Some say he was murdered, though no body was ever found.
You said something before about laying him to rest.
You must find the remains and bury him in hallowed ground.
Yeah, so that's kind of... I'm sorry, lads, but it's a bit contrived.
He's a little bit contrived. Not as contrived as a reveal that comes later on, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, at least we've got a bit of backstory about how Freddy was born. I mean, it had to be something.
Yeah.
It could just be, he was a nice little boy.
Yeah.
But he just started, I don't know, listening to Korn, then he went a bit nuts. You know, there's got to be something a bit more than that.
Yeah.
We had a stern telling off from his dad one day. Daddy, can I have hot dogs? They're chicken, not pork. Whoa.
Oh, no.
All downhill. Yeah. All gone.
And so as part of this explanation, she also says, right, here's the thing. If you want to rid yourself of Freddy, you need to go find his bones that were never buried because he never had a funeral, because after they burned him, they hid his body, did the residents, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find that shit, you've got to bury that shit.
I don't understand why they didn't just bury it in the first place. I mean, he's going to stop him, the chief constable. Oh, wait, no. He's the one doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's a bit contrived. Sorry, listeners.
So we get at this point, we're going to get a story and a quest in, like, the dream world, and then we're going to get one in the real world as well.
Side quest, mate.
Side quest, yes, mate.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah, real world side quest.
Yeah.
So we basically, Nancy and the Doctor, decide that the best way to crack on with the side quest is to go and see a dad who's been arsehole ever since Nancy's mother died sometime after the events of the first film.
When she got stuck through that door, didn't she?
She got stuck right through that door, mate, yeah. So he's in a bar, funnily enough.
Yep.
In line with his alcoholic character. And they catch up with him for a chat, and he basically don't want to fucking know.
Not interested, is he?
No. So Nancy has a storm off.
Yep.
This is kind of intercut with Patricia Arquette being locked in a room by Nurse Ratched and starting to have nightmares over at the old hospital. But then the doctor and Nancy's dad have a bit of a powwow, a bit of a man-to-man.
Mano-a-mano. He sorts it out then, doesn't he?
It's kind of like the weirdest look. I kind of like your daughter. Can I have permission to go out with her, except he's asking for permission to find a maniac's bones and bury him. It's a bit of a strange sort of inverting of that.
Bit of a segue, isn't it?
It's a bit of a segue, yeah.
I love your daughter, grab a shovel.
Also, what are you up to tonight, man? Can you drive?
Yeah. How many have you had?
How's your digging skills?
Yeah.
Are you allergic to soil?
No.
So then, so we're set up now for the final act, basically. So we've got our main quest, kids and Nancy. Nancy hops it back to the hospital.
Yep.
Kids and Nancy, horror Power Rangers, back together. We're going to fucking go in there and we're going to kick the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Intercut with pissed dad and doctor, going to find them bones and bury him.
Yes, mate.
Them bones, them side bones.
Them side bones.
So off they pop, and we get a little bit of docking around here somewhere, backing again.
Probably. Soundboard.
I think we do.
Oh,
soundboard.
Oh, fucking. Ah, burr. I'm just gonna leave that window up.
Imagine that, but slightly montagey.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So. The crack is when they go into the dreamscape, they all get split up straight away. Slightly yeah. contrived.
Well, they all transport into the... Because Patricia Arquette's put in isolation by Nurse Ratched, so when they all go into the dream, they all transport into the isolation room and Freddy claws away at it.
Yeah.
Which, that's how they're all separated.
Yep.
Have the superpowers been revealed yet?
No, they right, get okay. revealed bit by bit.
Yeah.
During like the coming few little sequences that we have.
Yeah, so the first sort of scene is our metal girl who in her dreams becomes like some sort of beautiful 80s metal queen.
Yes, this is a slightly bizarre reveal of superpowers. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can pull people into my dreams and I'm a super gymnast.
Yeah.
Cool, I'm super strong. What can you do? Oh, I can do magic. Oh, in my dreams, I'm attractive.
Yeah. And also...
All right, cool, okay.
And also not to be...
Feminism, yeah!
And also not to be discounted, a former drug addict, which does come in here.
Yes, it does, mate.
So basically, she's the first one to get into a rumble with Freddy. Comes off second best.
Yes, mate.
With the quite frankly astonishing visual of Freddy's knife fingers turning into hypodermics.
Yes, mate, glowing hypodermics.
Yeah, it's a bit Lovecraft, it's a bit Reanimator almost.
It's a little bit creepy, mate, especially with all those track marks just kind of coming alive and like little mouth faces.
Breathing and,
that, man.
Oh, it's like them dodgy, you know, them pimple videos people put on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like that shit.
Yeah, it's quite grotesque, but really well done as a result.
Yeah.
More really good effects.
Yeah.
So she basically gets her the hypodermic stabbage.
Yeah.
And no more beautiful 80s hair metal.
No, man.
Power Ranger.
Is there a one-liner for that?
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
Well, no, he just says, oh, what a rush. Which just reminds me of Legion of Doom, WWF. Rescued reference. One per episode.
Ka-ching!
Yes! Moving on.
So, Wheelchair Kid is next. The kid who becomes a magician.
Yes, mate.
He has a decent go at Freddy.
Yeah.
Fires some green lightning shit at him.
Just rolling natural 20s all the way down the corridor.
Exactly, yeah. So he gives it a good old sort of World of Warcraft kind of effort.
Yep.
Sadly comes off second best again, doesn't he?
Yes,
he
does. Mate.
Oh, sorry, kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
So we're kind of out of nowhere. We're down to three.
Yes, mate. They're just kind of off. And you think, oh, it's dreams, isn't it? They're going to come back. Oh,
no, they don't.
We're down to three. All right.
It's not happening. It's not happening for them at all.
Yep.
The next sort of little sequence is, I thought, really nicely done, where basically the three survivors go down a sort of Dante's Inferno kind of spiral staircase to hell. Thought it was quite a nice little, bit of iconography in there.
It was, because I liked it as well, because kid's name is Kincaid, is like the one with like super strength. Just starts calling out Freddy Krueger, calling him a pussy.
Because
he's so confident. So it's him, it's Nancy, and it's Patricia Arquette left. And yeah, they come across a magic floating door, which leads them towards the depths of hell, or the incinerator, depending on your metaphor.
But not before we return to the side quest.
So, you know, it'll like 25% progress, so just like sack it off a bit.
Exactly, yeah, it's a bit like Zelda, this now.
Yeah.
So you just keep getting distracted by shops. So off we pop back to the pissed dad and the doctor. They've deduced that basically they left Freddy's body in a boot of a car in a scrapyard, which has not been opened for however many years, presumably about 20. So they jimmy the old boot open. There's a bag of bones, literally a bag of bones.
But then there's like some
Yeah, there's
like, oh, we're not alone out here. Yeah, we're alone, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're fine, it's great, it's fine. No, it's not fine. It is fine, honestly. And then Nancy's dad gets a big old tag in, doesn't he?
Yes, mate.
What's that?
What?
No. We're alone.
Bury the fucking thing!
Battered and impaled into the back of a car. It's pretty... I'd say that's almost like... It reminded me... Well, I mean, it's obviously where they got the idea from. It reminded me a little bit of the now infamous Kelly Rowland kill from Freddy vs. Jason. Which I'm sure we'll cover at another time, but is probably one of the all-time greats, I'd say. So, yeah, he gets battered out, and then it goes a little bit Jason and the Argonauts.
It does, mate,
So, you know, Ray Harryhausen would be proud of this shit.
I think he would. I think he was alive at the time, to be fair. I think this is just pre-go motion.
Yep.
So there's no kind of, like, blurring or anything on it, and it's clearly stop motion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all the actors around it are just giving it so much welly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everyone's just kind of selling it really well.
There's just a certain charm to that sort of effect, either. You just don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it is played for laughs.
Yeah.
It's Freddy. They're trying to get Freddy's attitude across as a skeleton.
Yeah.
And it is fucking funny.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So kind of like for the final climax sequences of the film, we're basically intercut between the sort of slightly ridiculous and pretty fucking funny vision of the Doctor fighting a skeleton and the kids getting pretty fucking leathered by Freddy in his boiler room. So
he has to hop between the two, doesn't he? So he has to possess his skeleton to fight off Doctor and Pisshead.
Exactly, yeah,
and then
he has
to hop back and then leave his bones on the floor, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he can only do one at a time, which
is
quite cute.
And we get the reveal of the Quiet Kid's power at this point, where basically he screams at Freddy, and Freddy gets blasted back, and everything just gets smashed to bits by the power of his scream.
Yeah.
Which is, well, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliche, but I was just trying to think of other examples of it. I know, like, where you get a film and, like, there's a kid quiet, it's like, stop! And, like, everyone, like, turns on and pays attention because they haven't really spoken for the first time. It's like, okay, fine.
Well, I don't know, mate. Caesar in Planet of the Apes?
That's a good one, actually. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That is actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, point of reference for the mirror shit, I mean, you'd have to go and watch Alexandra Aja's Mirrors, starring Kiefer Sutherland, which is A, terrible, and B, technically a remake. It was a Korean film before.
It's going to rear its head at some point, do you think?
Well, tune in next week.
Yeah. Hopefully not for a while. I watched it fairly recently, and it was fucking dull, lads.
Going back to bed, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's like... Back in the ground. Yeah, watch it half an hour at a time kind of situation. Yeah.
I was getting some Enter the Dragon vibes of that mirror hall, to be honest.
Yeah.
I knew the mirrors were going to have to get tagged out at some point.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Had to be done, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we're kind of... A whole lot of shit happens all at once here now, towards the end of this film.
It does.
So, basically, within 2 minutes... Allow me to consult my notes.
Okay, Rob.
Within 2 minutes, Nancy gets tagged out by Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
The nun reappears. And over the other side quest... Dr. Guy wins his battle with Skeletal Freddy, buries him.
Yep.
All of that happens.
Holy water on it.
Yeah. All that happens within about 2.5 seconds.
So he throws holy water on the skeleton, so as a result, Freddy explodes in the dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Nancy's dad as a, you know, an angel or something to, like, console Nancy, say, yeah, I'm buggering off now.
Yeah,
I'm off. Bye.
Bye.
But it turns out to be Freddy all along, so he stabs her.
Yeah,
She gets it, and that's about it, really. Rest of the holy water then kills him off or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Correctamundo.
I think I've got it all the right order.
So that's seemingly the end of that, until we have a little sort of final pre-credit sequence with Patricia Arquette, who's got she's got Nancy's dream doll thing now.
Mm.
Yep. She's got her papier-mâché rendering of the house for that book ending.
Yep, she's got all this crap she can take home with
her. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. And last little shot of the film, the upstairs bedroom light comes on in the model house.
I know, you've forgot one bit for another scene, the Nancy's funeral. If it comes right before it, at least in my copy it does anyway.
She has a funeral.
Wilson's Daily Motion version.
where Tim Allen confronts our scary nun again.
Oh, yeah, the nun does briefly reappear.
Yes, and the nun of. And he follows her. She disappears, but he comes across her gravestone.
Yeah.
It turns out her name was Angela Kruger.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. The nun was the mum.
Yeah, the nun was the mum.
Angela. Angel, Angela, Angel.
Bit contrived.
Was a bit, wasn't it?
Sorry, Wilson's mum.
So yeah, that shit happens.
Yep.
And then the light comes on.
It does.
In the little toy house.
Yep.
Yeah. Finn, Dokken.
Play that music.
Sorry. Pretty fucking good though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was all right.
Closing thoughts, Dave.
I still find the pace a bit bizarre.
Right, yeah.
When shit kicks up a gear, I'm remembering it now, into the second half, things are moving faster, but it's still kind of like that weird stop-start, just dun, 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 dun. It feels like I'm, I don't know what it is, because there's technically nothing wrong here.
No,
and I'm perfectly happy and enjoying myself. It just feels like a little bit of a slog sometimes.
Is it as much of a slog through as the second one was?
Oh, fuck no. Absolutely not. No.
No fucking repeated school bus sequences there, is there?
No, it went... It was an easier pill to swallow than the second one.
For sure. Yeah, see what he did there. Pill to swallow. Hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Mm.
Not on purpose. Accidental. Ho.
Ho. Chris Wilson.
As I said at the beginning of the episode, I really bloody enjoy this film. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good. I mean, Dave's got a good point about some of the scenes, it's a bit one after the other, and it doesn't connect probably as well as it should, but I had a great time with this one.
Like
I did with the first one, I think the first one's slightly better with the kills, but apart from that, I can't really pick the two apart, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I picked it because it's dumb. I mean, and dumb is the word. Dumb fun, and I felt the need for a little bit of redemption after the fog. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
I mean, I redeemed myself, I think, in the next pick that I've...
Yeah, for sure.
I've never had to redeem myself because my picks have been perfect.
So, yeah.
Bit of the old Mongolian throat singing.
It was good fun, that. Enjoyed it. Definitely, I would say, the most fun of the Nightmare sequels.
Okay.
I do have a real soft spot for New Nightmare. Story for another day, maybe. But, yeah, I guess that pretty much rounds it off. Shit and popcorn. Dave Walker.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it 4 turds.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's technically sound. Some of the technical stuff does stand out a little bit. It seems sometimes they're using stop motion for the sake of stop motion, but fuck it.
It's looks great,
really good stuff, though.
Yeah.
And I can't, it makes me wish stop motion had just carried on into the digital age to see what you could actually do with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, have you seen the Jurassic Park test footage?
Bits and bobs. I've seen the odd clip of it, yeah.
It looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
If they carried on to now, I'd like to see what happened. And it's got a nice nostalgia vibe because of it.
Yeah.
Firmly anchored in the
80s. Yeah, for sure.
Are we on 87 at this point?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I can't really pick anything wrong with it, apart from some sluggish pacing at times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 4 turds.
4 turds.
Quite favourable for me, yeah.
What sort of level of popcorn are we throwing on this?
I think 7.
Yeah, good solid score.
It's a decent, mate. It's just above mid-card.
Yeah. Very good.
Quite happy.
I feel like we might have a bit of a divide here. I don't know why, I'm just getting a vibe off Wilson that he's going to go in a slightly different direction.
10, 10, 10, 10.
Chris Wilson, how many turds are you putting on it?
1.
Really?
Fuck.
Whoa. Explain yourself.
That's it. I really fucking enjoyed it. And I didn't see any issues whatsoever. as you say now about the pacing, but I've only thought about it now that you mentioned it. I didn't really think of it while I was watching it. Yeah. So, yeah, I said I'd rip for in time with this one.
Is this the first time you've seen it? Have you seen it before?
No, I saw it, 16, 12? When I was 12, so, like, bloody hell, like 18 years ago now.
Right.
Fucking old man.
Jeez. Okay, well... I mean, popcorn. I don't know what's going to happen now with this one after the shit revelation.
9.
9 popcorn.
Yeah.
Say, Wilson's had a fucking great time.
Have you ever done a 9 before?
Wicker Man.
Jason X.
Jason X. I think Jason X is the highest rated one. Yeah.
And
so.
Yeah, obviously.
I think Wickerman gave 7.
Okay.
When I was being realistic about it.
You thought it was more ponderous and quite a cerebral experience, didn't you, see?
Not
a popcorn fodder, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Rob?
So, yeah.
Well,
turds around, mate.
I've slightly changed my mind as we've been talking from what I wrote down. I think for turds, I'm going to go a steady 4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There is some pretty contrived elements in there. I think a lot of... Sorry, guys.
Sorry,
listeners. A lot of the stuff with the nuns pretty fucking... You know, that's a toilet clogger, some of that stuff.
Just fucking say your bit, love.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Say it quicker.
Yeah.
And more clearly.
Yeah. Don't hide behind that tree. Come here.
Exactly, yeah.
Just walk up, say, I'm his mum. Walk off.
Yeah, and it is... although it is fabulously 80s, it's almost a bit too 80s.
For 1987, it is very fucking 80s.
Very 80s,
It feels a lot earlier.
It does. It feels more like 84, 85.
Yes. Like, but it should have gone back-to-back with Critters in the thing.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. So that's my reasons for the 4.
Yep.
Popcorn... It's got to be an 8.
Yeah.
It's got to be an 8. Can't go any lower than that.
Yeah.
Not quite as rollicking a time as Chris Wilson had, but I still had a bloody good time with it.
Throwing turds and popcorn in his living room.
Yeah! Woo! Every time I've watched this film, I've had a fucking good laugh, and it's definitely one of the best Nightmare on Elm Street films. Definitely.
Nice. Very nice.
Definitely.
Are you happy?
Happy as a pig in shit. Are you happy, Wilson?
I am indeed, yeah.
You're happy, Dave?
I'm always happy, yeah. I watched it on a film marathon day.
But you would have been happy.
A very good day, yeah. Yeah. I ended it with Jumanji 2.
You did, didn't you? Fucking hell.
Fucking good fun, mate.
Out with a whimper. So, yeah, I guess
Well, you're in the chair next, Dave.
I am in the hot seat.
What are you hitting us with, son?
It.
It?
So many puns coming up in this episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You mean the new It, the 2017 It?
Yes, mate.
Holy It.
Yeah. Not the shit It either.
No.
No, no. Mm. No. It's an experience, mate.
Yeah. It is an experience. I saw it at the cinema. Pumped for that.
Same, mate. So, yeah. I'll save my explanation for my choice for the next episode, but yeah.
Forward to that.
We're doing something modern now.
Ooh.
Have you seen it before? Modern Willy over there.
Not until... Well, now, no.
Ooh.
So,
looking forward to it. I wonder if Wilson's going to have another controversial opinion.
Tim Curry is a vastly superior It.
Fun.
I've not seen him in any servers either.
Have you not?
Nah.
It's going to be a hot take.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the last thing to do is to say, it's bye from me.
And it's bye from me, man.
And it's bye from me. Hit that music!
Buy a boombox now.
Bye bye, everybody.
Sweet dreams.
Bye.
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates at Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and of course at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.